Blog Talk Radio.
Naomi, are you muted?
Hello?
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I was muted. What a way to start a show. On mute. Bravo, Naomi. Yeah, I just want to welcome. So welcome, everybody, to this wonderful Wednesday, and depending on where you are on planet Earth, whether it's the morning or the afternoon or the evening or the middle of the night, welcome to this wonderful show, whether you're listening now or listening later, where we read your succulent brevities and you know, really get into them and comment on them and give them all the appreciation that they deserve. And with me today, I have Ruth, a new caller, and perhaps a new co-host for the show. Welcome, Ruth. Thank you so much for being here. And I have also with us our wonderful Pam Ray. So hi Pam, how's it going today?
Well, not too bad. I mean, I've had better days, but I've had worse, and you know, all in all, it's good. I am looking forward to hanging out with you and Ruth, and you know, just delving into this brevity, which, you know, you guys always just get such amazing rights for this show. You know, so looking forward to it.
Oh, indeed. As you know, so many talented writers out there. It amazes me. And you know, I'm going to start right away and post our first poem in Brevity Writers. There I go. A first poem, Hearth by Boudot. And Ruth, would you like to give that a read for us?
Yeah, if you can hold on 1 minute while I get it. Okay. Well, I don't see it. Do I have to go to...
It's posted in both groups. Rooms in Late Night Poets, where you were yesterday, and it's also posted in Brevity Writers.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry to keep you.
Oh, no problem. Maybe while you're looking, I'll give it a read myself, and then you can look around and see. This is Hearth by Boudot. Glade the warm embers in a blaze of tinder, hardy, rooted semblance, bubbling vehement in iron cauldron, a scented wisp preponder, glory days of knitted wool and speckled twindle, rocking aft, then fro. A look upon the masonry in approach, prove you nigh the coming twilight's pith, come breathing down chamber, stroke the timber smartly, and smile north below, for our plinth stands ably strong. What a wonderful poem here. You know, amazing imagery throughout, and you know, just amazing brevity by Argo here, by Boudot. I was reading Argo's comment. So sorry. Just an amazing, and what an amazing picture. You know, those old hearths, those old fireplaces. I'm just in love with those fireplaces. You don't see them very often anymore, except maybe in some old cottages. But, you know, those are just sublime, that those sit by those fireplaces. But, what a beautiful, beautiful right here. Glory days of knitted wool and speckled twindle, rocking aft then fro. Yeah, you know, just knitting in the, you know, just rocking in the rocking chair in front of the hearth there. Bravo, Boudot. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. Wonderful imagery in it. I like how it has such a nostalgic feel. Glory days of knitted wool and speckled twindle, rocking aft then flow. It has very a classical feel in its choice of imagery. I also really like those end lines, and smite Nord's bellows, for our plinth stands ably strong. It really takes me back to my childhood, and my one grandmother, she had a wood barrel stove, and we did too in our house, and it was a center of the house. It was, you know, it kept you warm. It was a place of comfort, and that's what this makes me think of how those fireplaces, those wood barrel stoves were a gathering place of comfort and warmth. Yeah, so excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah, excellent comment there. They were, you know, they have the most fabulous tales and the stories told around those hearths. I remember, you know, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, Prince Edward Island, and the fishermen used to gather and talk of their great adventures over the seas. So, yeah, it does have that nostalgic feeling. And Ruth, what are your thoughts? Did you get to the poem, my dear?
Yes, finally. I'm sorry. I really love that prompt. Ooh, it looks so nice. And I knit, so I would just love to sit there and just knit away and go to my happy place.
It also reminds me, like you said, of where the fishermen come. This reminds me of Norway, which I'm part Norwegian, and that would just seem like to me a very beautiful, calm silence, except what makes it a little eerie for me is that skull on top of the fireplace. And so you gotta kind of wonder if there's not some magic in there. This is really nice. It was also the front page pick 9 months ago. That's really great.
Great to point that out. I hadn't even noticed. And I hadn't noticed the skull either. I just see it now. Kind of eerie.
Unless you're familiar.
Great job, Budo. Excellent right there. And I have our next write-up, which is Paper Waves by R. Mundell. Ruth, if you see that one?
Not yet. I'm on the late night poet site. Is that where I'm supposed to be?
Maybe if you click on the inbox on top, it'll refresh your page.
On the what box? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Just refresh. Most things have a little a circle with an arrow that you click, and that refreshes your page.
Okay. I never knew what that was for. All right. I am so sorry. I will get the hang of this sometime.
Do you see the right there? Paper waves?
Not there yet. One moment.
Okay.
You can go ahead, Pam, if you like.
Pam, if you can give it a read.
Sure. Absolutely. I'd be happy to. This is Paper Waves by A.R. Mundell. My pencil sails the creamy seas, its sail held in my grip, fair winds of creativity all rest upon the tip, gliding smooth in grooves becalmed and down into the dip, where compass once took wood to harm and mind wandering slip. Tips skittering up rougher waves, the reefs of wood-grained lips, silver shining on wake it paves in regal graphite strips, journey cast in smoky shades, all guided by the skip, to rest in harbor far from fade as I lift away the ship. End poem.
What a beautiful write. Now, I'm getting to know Amy quite a bit, you know, her writes. And, you know, this is just fabulous. She always has such a way with words and fabulous rhythm and flow. You know, it seems to be just the effortlessness in the flow. But you know, it takes quite a bit of talent and work to achieve that. But you know, the way she talks about writing here, my pencil sails the creamy seas, its sail held in my grip. Oh, wow. You know, that just the start, it just has a song-like quality again to it. I think I said that about one of her poems last night, but just beautiful. Wow. What did you think, Ruth, about this write?
One thing I really like about this is it doesn't have a prompt, you know, a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And still, it comes through very clearly for me. I can imagine it in my head. And in a way, it reminds me of when the Vikings used to have a funeral boat and push it out to sea. And especially the last line, to rest in harbor far from fade as I list away the ship. This is a really powerful poem. And I'm not doing this all the time. I like prompts as well, but it is when a poem reads so well without a prompt, it is really, I think it's really a talented, tight poet. I really like this. It's very lovely.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, when you don't have a prompt and you can imagine, so your imagination just takes you, you know, the poem just makes your imagination soar to where it wants to go. So, yeah, very, very talented writer indeed. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is brilliant. It's got wonderful rhyme and flow. Beautiful imagery. I like how she has a consistency with the metaphor. It's a wonderful extended metaphor of the comparison of a pencil to a ship. And I really like how this does, it's a write about writing, and I always appreciate those. You know, it's the idea of that journey of a pencil guided by the poet, guided by the creativity of the author or the artist. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome, awesome comment. Awesome extended metaphor, like you said, Pam. And, you know, awesome, awesome write, Amy. Wow, just stunning. Just blew me away with that, right? So I'm going to put up our next poem, which is by Cedar Chapman. Get that on there. Did I put it in the right room? Late Night Poets, yeah, okay. Brevity Writers. Okay. So this is called Spiraled Serpent by Cedar Chapman. And Ruth, do you see it?
Yes. Yes,
oh,
I do.
Yes.
Thank you for telling me about that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, thank you.
I said, yeah. So
okay.
If you can give that a read.
Okay. Spiraled Serpent. Born from the fangs of blood-soaked fingers, stained black with unholy water, charmed by the forked tongue of his hooded master, He slithers in darkness, infecting verdant meadows with soot and mud. He longs to wrap his spiral torso around a victim's neck. Tweed pants and galoshes dangling from a burning sycamore tree. Wives screaming on their knees, then silently crawl from playground to playground, kissing his serpent manifesto.
Oh, this is a, you know, ooh, kind of dark and excellent imagery here. Dangling from a burning sycamore tree, wide screaming on their knees, then silently crawl from playground to playground, hissing his serpent manifesto. Catches me here is I'm not sure if this is, you know, you take it really literally as Jane being the serpent, or if it has an underlining metaphorical meaning or message in here, what the serpent is. I'm gonna turn this one over to Pam and see what she has to say.
I do know that, you know, in the Bible, the Judeo-Christian Bible, the serpent is oftentimes, and in many cultures, the serpent is a representation of evil or of Satan himself. There's many things a serpent can represent. I really like he slithers in darkness, infecting verdant meadows with soot and mud. This is a wonderful imagery, excellent dark rite. It does definitely have the idea to me of evil let loose in the world. To poison and to cling onto and change that which is good. I do notice, though, that the prompt was, I was looking at the prompt is noose. And so now all of a sudden it's making sense to me, the last stanza. He longs to wrap his spiral torso around a victim's neck, tweed pants and galoshes dangling from a burning sycamore tree. Wife screaming on their knees. And now all of a sudden, I think I'm getting it. This is, the serpent is the noose. So I do think with a serpent, you can see as many things, but the serpent is the noose. And this is about a horrific, the idea of, there's a word for it. Like, you know, lynching. It's lynching. It's a hate crime. Wives screaming on their knees. This is the idea of hate crimes committed and the loved ones who have to just helplessly watch. At least that's what I get from it. But as always, it's a powerful and emotive rite and very well done.
Oh, yeah. Cedar Chapman always astonishes with his writing and you know, that's an excellent observation. Now that I look at it and I read it over, I see that, knowing that the prompt was news too. And Ruth, your thoughts?
Well, I didn't know it was a noose, but the part charmed by the forked tongue of a hooded master. It flashed quickly that maybe this was a snake like they use in the basket. I can't think of the kind. But
cobra.
But then it's too much like a boa constrictor. And that would go along with the noose prompt. This is a, I'm trying to think of, it's slightly disliking whomever, or even hating whomever this snake goes, this serpent goes after and doesn't stop. Like at the bottom it said, then silently crawl from playground to playground, hissing his serpent manifesto. And it just, it bring, if I saw that it was the noose, it would have brought up more, more emotion. But this is very good even without that prompt. I mean, nice. Mm-hmm. It was very good.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Cedar Chapman is quite a talented poet indeed. Excellent, excellent brevity here. And I have the next poem up, which is What is Love by Random Scribbler. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. So this is What is Love? Love, it seems, is nothing, and yet it is everything. In the ocean of heart, it is a tide rising. Oh, my faraway moon, wanting to touch you. Deep down the mire of mind, it is a memory for musings. Oh, my favorite friend, longing to meet you. Salve for bruised soul. It is a secret, oh, my healer. I'm sharing only with you. Music to ears and poems for lips. Love is a song, oh, my adored. I am always willing to sing with you. End poem. What a beautiful brevity. Oh, my gracious. About it. So complete and so passionately written. And what is love? I just love it. I love the rhythm and the flow of this. But, you know, I just love the emotion that you take away from this whole write. Love, it seems, is nothing, and yet it is everything. It is the ocean of heart. It is a tide rising. Oh, my faraway moon, wanting to touch you. And all through, I had trouble picking out lines because I just loved every stanza of this. This is just amazing. Ruth, what did you think of Random Scribbler's write?
I think it's very beautiful. It's funny that love is so many things to so many people, and it amazes me how they look at the other person. And he has made this woman be everything to him, no matter. Oh, she has absolutely come into his soul as well as his heart. And I like the last line, love is a song. Oh, my adored, I am always willing to sing with you. He's in love with her. That's a fact. I really liked it.
Oh, indeed. What a great comment. Beautiful, beautiful write. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a beautiful and heartfelt write on the idea of the importance of love, and especially in the dark times of our life and the dark times of our mind. So wonderful write and very well done.
Oh, indeed. Excellent write by and by Random Scribbler. And Pam, you're going to read because I have your poem.
Oh,
look
at that. All right. This is Hibiscus Energy, and it goes like this. In a secluded land of sacrament, she wanders the hibiscus path, passive and persuasive energy. She never bows to words of wrath and poem.
Love this. Love this. You know, it's simple. It's to the point. It says what it has to say. It uses wonderful, wonderful words chosen, not one word wasted. And I love, you know, how she finished. She never bows to words of wrath. That says it all there. And Ruth, what are your thoughts on Pam's poem?
I really like this, the hibiscus energy. I could just see those flowers and smell them and drink the tea. She might be gathering petals to give herself comfort and encouragement. And I do love the end. She never bows to words of wrath. That's beautiful. That's very well done, Pam.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you to both of you. I really appreciate the wonderful comments.
Yeah, and I love also, you know, your alliteration throughout the poem. You know, you have subtle alliteration there with the S sound, you know, the P sounds there, and, you know, it just flows all together so beautifully, this little write. So excellent, excellent job, Pam.
Thank
you. So well written.
The funny thing about this poem is in the contest, the person running contest allowed for up to 60 words. And I wrote these 22 words, and I thought, you know, I could still add more. You know, I've got another about, you know, close to 40 words to work with. But it just seemed to say everything that I wanted it to say. You know how you always get that feeling with poems when you know when they're done and you don't need to shove anything else in? That's how I felt with this one. I felt it was complete with those 22 words.
Yeah,
I think
indeed.
Sometimes, I'm sorry. I think sometimes when we feel that end, and we continue on, it does something to the place where we should have ended it. And the rest of it is just taking away from that dynamic part. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
You can wreck, you know, I know because I pick away at poems sometimes, oh my gracious. And, you know, I pick away at them till, you know, there's nothing good left, or what it was good is buried under all this super, how do you say that?
I don't know.
yeah, unnecessary jumble bumble there, unnecessary words. So you bury the essential of the poem. But so this was, brilliantly written, Pam. So bravo. And I'm going to put up the next poem, which is by Twinkle Star, The Sea at Dusk. And Ruth, do you see that one? If you can
get
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm amazing myself here. It's called, this poem was front page pick a month ago, just to add that in there. The Sea at Dusk. The auburn autumn poured its gold unto the placid waves of the sea. And the earth stood still and quiet, shimmering for a second infamy. In the silent molten ripples brushed a silken stream of rays, stretched across the twilight sky with gleaming hues and grays. The clouds break above the horizon on wings of silver dusk. The air feels crisp and heavy with a mild scent of amber musk. Sprinkled its gold, the auburn autumn did above the mirror of the sea. End of poem. This is lovely.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Continue on, Ruth.
And I do like her prompt. It just looks like molten gold. Very, very good flow of this poem. And she absolutely stuck to that prompt. I really liked it, and I can see why it was picked. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Pam, can you continue the and comment? I'm going into a coughing fit here. Hello?
Maybe she put it on mute.
Hello, Pam? Did we lose Pam? We'd be in trouble if we lost. We'd be in trouble if we lost Pam. I agree with you. You know, this poem is absolutely beautiful. The imagery, you know, sprinkled in gold. It's gold. This auburn autumn did above the mirror of the sea. But you know, there's so many beautiful lines. You know, the air feels crisp and heavy with mild scent of amber musk. You know, I just love when, you know, a poet can slip in, you know, the scent into a poem. I think that's one of the senses that, you know, that most arouses me or, you know, like it's speaks to me, but this is just absolutely magnificent to write by Twinkle Star here. And Pam, what are your thoughts? Are you back with us?
To make a little comment, underneath her name, it says, "I write for the heart to feel what the eyes can't see." And that poem reflects exactly what she does. That's really nice.
Oh, yeah, I see that. I write for the heart to feel the eyes can't see. Beautiful, beautiful comment there.
Dynamic.
Yeah. And, Pam says, okay, she left. She put it out. She put it in the room. I didn't see that in the room. Okay, so I'll just pick up our next poem here. This is going to be one by Ruby. Okay, I'm just going to copy it out of the topic board and slip it into the room. There, I'm pasting it. Okay. There it is. Okay, so I'll go ahead, I guess, and give this one a read by Ruby, 2:24:46. Hands as one, fingers entwined, palm on palm, lifeline and love lines merge as our wrists touch, our heart beats sink, seal the deal, We are one in the colors of love. Oh, wow. What a brilliantly, I think so cleverly thought out little brevity here that says so much. The use of the hands, the fingers, the palms, and then to relate that to the heartbeat, those life lines and love lines merge. So true, when you read palms, you see those lines. I don't know much about it, but I know that they are your lifeline and your love line on your palm or your hand. This is just amazing. Amazing, right? The amazing little brevity by Ruby here. And Ruth, what are your thoughts?
I was in another group with Ruby, and she is multi-talented. She gets sensuality excellently. And to me, this is a very sensual poem, even though you are holding hands. I mean, like if a man kisses your hand, it's really sensual. So the hands are extremely sensual. And they're these two people are definitely in love. And I love the end. We are one in the colors of love, just all encompassing and just extremely well written.
Oh, sorry. Ah, it's okay. I'm talking so bad today. If you can go ahead, do you see our next poem, Better Health by Karen?
I think, Naomi, is that there's a little time between when I get them, when you send them and I get them. Now it's here. It wasn't there a minute ago, but it's here now.
Okay.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
Okay. Better Health. On a cool, misty day, I was sitting in the balcony and was gazing at the sea. As the rain started to pour down, I went inside and changed into warm wool clothes and sat near the fireplace. I picked my phone and ordered a cup of tea. The waiter brought toasted bread with salami in a blue plate. While eating, I saw someone selling fruit near the porch. As soon as I finished eating, I went to buy a few pomegranates, persimmons, which could be eaten raw, cooked, or dried, contains a lot of vitamins. I also bought a couple of ripe quinces due to its fragrance and its healing effects on heart health. This was also, end of poem. This was also on the front page pick 3 days ago. Edgar King is an excellent writer.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful read there, Ruth. This is such a tasty write. She writes about, the title is Better Health, but it's always amazing to me how many foods out there taste delicious and are made to, nourish our bodies and create balance. Something I read, and I don't know if it's true or not, but blueberries are one of the most nutritionally dense foods you can eat. But this makes me hungry. This makes me want to go out and have lunch with Adhikaran and, just chit-chat about poetry and eat, just sip on tea. I really like to mention the pomegranate. I remember the first time I tried to figure out how to eat pomegranates with my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, man. it's just fun memories. But yeah, I really like the way she used the word bank and created this snapshot, you know, so just excellent write. And I stepped in because I heard Naomi Coffin, so I wasn't sure how she was doing. But are you back with us, Naomi?
Oh, I'm sorry. I called you Naomi.
Yeah, out of breath there from coughing, but I'm here. Yeah. Oh, my gracious. I'm having a hard time here. Yeah, I laughed at your pomegranate. I took a course actually in dietitian to be a dietitian, one of my multiple tries at doing things when I was in college, and I got to learn about all these fruits, but it is an exotic fruit that you do turn over in your hands, and you do wonder, okay, what am I going to do with this one? But and I love that you commented on blueberries, that they're very rich in vitamins and everything. So I'm gonna add blueberries to my diet, I guess.
Oh,
and
I recommend it to anyone. Yeah, and they're so delicious. You know, my favorite way to have blueberries is in muffins, but I don't think that does much nutritionally.
Or make a smoothie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I that's the way I get my fruit mostly. I make smoothies with the fruit, and even in the winter time when you can't get fresh fruit, you can get the frozen bags of fruit. And I read somewhere that is just as nutritious, I guess, the frozen fruit or as the fresh ones. I have a hard time believing that, but anyway, I read that somewhere, so mustn't be that not that too bad. But yeah, I love smoothies. But
frozen fruit is definitely the second best choice next to fresh, because I have several bags right now of frozen fruit, very frozen fruit within my freezer. Yeah. But we seem to be slightly digressing. We've gone from being a poetry show to being the smoothie of the day show.
That's fun. This is fun.
Oh, there I go again. I'm going to let you guys, Ruth, comment.
Well, I did comment before, but I like her writing. And as I said, it was a French front page pick 3 days ago. And I think that she used the word bank really well. Sometimes those word banks are kind of hard to integrate into a really good read. And I think she did a really great job in doing that. And the imagery was on spot. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah. And I just stopped coughing. So right on, right, good timing. Okay, so I put the next write up by Cress Tersett. And it's called Mining Gold. And I'll put that in the other group. Okay. So it's in both groups.
Okay.
And whose turn to read? I'm not sure.
I just did.
Okay. So Pam, could you read Cress Tersett's poem?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Mining Gold by Cress Tersett. Dive with me in Fingers Ballet to hidden caves and warm seas of gold with slow flutters along your keyboard from clavicles to waist. I descend to mine the gluteal maximi, agave droplets trickle through your chest. My tongue glissades burnished skin to paler shores where I softly lap your quivering corona. Lips around the treasured ingot as you strum flamenco between my thighs. And we whirl below the waves to surge again breathless, spinning new stars into ceilings, orbit bursting walls to tread a planet of moonlight gravity. And satiated by sun-filled streams, we float where cyclones slow. End poem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is divinely sensual. And, you know, I put a spiritual transcendence. You know, it's just so wonderfully composed. Ruth, what did you think?
This is intensely sensual. But it's really well phrased. And I really like the prompt as well. And she says under her name, Love, you know, what it needs most is imagination. It requires you to invent another with all your imagination, with all your strength, and not to yield an inch to reality. But I think we know that this poem is pretty real. It was beautifully written.
Oh, yeah. Krister said she writes the most amazing sensual poems. We get her rights a lot on our Art of Seduction show. And wow, she can write sensual. And, you know, without being, you know, vulgar, without being,
yeah.
You know, yeah, just so, you know, with metaphors and everything, just so divinely well. You know, my tongue glissads burnished skin to paler shores where I softly lap your quivering corona. Wow. You know, and, you know, that's just one of those lines. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. This is absolutely beautiful. It's like brilliant with its imagery and metaphors. I love the way she makes her stanzas flow. I just really like how this speaks on that kind of passionate desire that you can't be resisted, and that connection. I really like, and we whirl below the waves to surge against breathless spinning new stars into ceilings orbit, bursting walls to tread a planet of moonlike gravity. That wonderful moment of a joining union, and beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah. So well said there, Pam. And I'm just going to grab. So bravo, Krister Sitt, you know, on such a wonderful, wonderful written poem. I'm just gonna, this is gonna be a poem by Oak Blue. Put it in. Okay. Put it in the other room. Okay. So once there was a grand bouquet, but no more, by Oak Blue 34. And whose turn is it to read? Is it my turn? Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. So this is, once there was a grand bouquet, but no more. Wilted flowers are all that's left of a love gone sad. Shadows of happy days crumbling into dust. Love yous and anniversaries faded into rust, while vultures circle overhead waiting for the final curtain. End poem. Oh, wow. This is so, so sad. You know, but so powerful and so on point here. You know, that's an Amber Alert. I don't know if you heard that, but my phone just went off. wilted flowers are all that's left of a love gone sad, shadows of a happy days crumbling into dust. Just an amazing, you know, amazing writing here by Oak Blue 34. What did you think, Pam?
This is a beautiful brevity, a well-deserved goal. I like and appreciate how it speaks on the idea of love lost to death, especially on that end line, circle overhead waiting for the final curtain. I also really like crumbling into dust, love yous and anniversaries. It seems like when you lose someone, when you lose a relationship, whether it is through death or it is through just the relationship ended, it's those anniversaries that hit the hardest. So beautiful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Well-deserved gold there, I see in that contest. And Ruth, what are your thoughts?
I think this is very well done. I look at different burial things and different funerary things, and in Tibet, they don't have enough room to put people into the earth. It's mostly rock and stuff. So they have a ritual. I won't go into it, but they have a ritual. And this poem reminded me of that, because while vultures circle overhead waiting for the final curtain, I mean, on one side, the shaman is doing this burial service and a funerary. And then on not so far away, there sits the vultures, and they are humongous. And it's a very sacred thing that happens, and a very sacred way of it goes round full circle with the vultures helping to do the whole entire ritual. It's beautiful. And this is, I think that's a very beautiful, while vultures circle overhead waiting for the final curtain. But it is sad. Yeah, it's a very deep poem, and crumbling into dust.
Yeah, I just imagine there that what you were explaining there, Ruth, and that must be quite a thing to see indeed. And great, that awesome comment. And I have your poem up next, your brevity, Ruth. So when do you see it? Yeah?
Not yet.
Oh, no.
It'll be there in a minute. I think there's a little bit of a hang there.
Refresh it, because I refresh your page, maybe, because I put it in a couple of minutes ago.
Okay. There, I got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. The name of this poem, Blow Me Back to Ecstasy. Blow me back to ecstasy, where my rustling psychedelic mind creates wild and fanatical hallucinations. Grip my solid inclinations until I scream, let go. Allow the sacred stars within my intentions burst as ruined meteorites, so blessed with elated antecedents, swirling without trepidation for the whirling of the soul divine. Colored magnitude, glorifying life. Blow me back to the raucous abyss, for there I shall be for all perpetual eternity. End of poem.
Beautiful. Yeah, go ahead, Pam.
Okay, sorry about that. Didn't mean to step on any toes, but beautiful read there, an amazing write. I love how this is both spiritual and sensual. It's a poem that is doubly layered. It has, you know, those layers, the complexity to it, the idea of seduction of the mind and the soul. It can be taken as that high, that kind of LSD type trip, but also the high that you get from being in love or being sexually aroused by someone that you're truly connected with in the mind. And I do like that it is about that seduction, to me, of the mind. You know, I really like that. Blow me back to ecstasy where my rustling psychedelic mind creates wild and fanatical hallucinations. And then on to allow the sacred stars within my intentions burst as ruined meteorites, so blessed with elated antidotes. You know, it's not about the light that you find beyond yourself, but the light that someone brings out of you. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, this was an awesome, awesome comment that Pam made there. And it's so true. You know, this is, you know, such a powerful spiritual rite, but also, you know, so sensual at the same time. You know, I just loved, you know, the colored magnitude glorifying life there. Blow me back to the raucous Abyss, for there I shall be for all perpetual eternity. I just love that ending. I know in the beginning when you scream, let go, you know, that's just, makes it so such a powerful rite that lingers in your mind, you know, long after you've read it, I think. So, so well written, Ruth. Wonderful, wonderful brevity.
Thank you.
And so welcome. Thank you for reading, for writing. I'm going to get the next poem. I'm coughing today, so I'm a little bit slow. I'm going to add in. It's Autumnal Ballerina by Jim Averse. And I'm going to put that in the other room. Okay. So, Pam, can you give that a read, please?
Absolutely. Autumnal Ballerina by Jim of Earth. Autumnal ballerina twisting in the colorful wind, botanical life leaving, falling to the ground, filling their seed. Limbs swing in the breeze, dancing to the equinox music before winter white snowfall lulls them to sleep. End poem.
What a beautiful read there, Pam. That was wonderful. You know, there's a movement in this poem, I find, you know, like the movement of the leaves falling or, you know, swaying in the breeze, dancing there. I feel there's, you know, this movement, you know, you know, maybe because of the words, you know, twisting and then leaving and then falling and then spilling. And then swinging and dancing, you know, and then that last line before winter white snowfall lulls them to sleep. You know, just a beautiful, beautiful, compact but cleverly thought out brevity here by Jim Averse. So well written to that prompt. Which was in one of my contests, by the way. But, you know, just amazing, amazing, right? And, yeah, Ruth, your thoughts?
Well, The prompt is, to me, it symbolizes a leaving. You know, she's going up in like a whirl. And then the last, I think the last two sentences before winter, white snowfall lulls them to sleep. She's kind of in a hurry because she can see those birds. They're leaving too. And she knows that she needs to leave before the snow comes, because she's finished doing what she did before. That's a very good poem. I really like it. Wonderful write.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful comment there, Ruth. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is beautifully written. And I like your observation, Naomi. I have to agree that this has a great sense of movement with its word choices, like ballerina and twisting. I like how he brings to life, he personifies the falling of the autumn leaves. I really like the imagery of limbs swing in the breeze, dancing to the equinox music. He brings us to that, the end of autumn, right at the edge of where winter will be starting soon. Wonderfully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. I had some amazing rights for that contest, indeed. And this is another one by Rick Six. Healy, waiting for
Helios.
Do you want to read it?
Okay, yeah, let me get it. He makes me laugh every time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, okay. So, Waiting for Helios by Rick Six. One glance at my orb tells me I've been standing in this meadow for more than two interminably long months. Thorny vines have begun twisting themselves around my naked body. Even goddesses get impatient, and I don't see any sign of my Helios. Neither his fiery chariots streaking across the sky, nor his bright, shiny bird emerging from the sun itself. I'm going to grab the next mortal I see and make violent love, our love cries reaching up to the heavens. Maybe that'll get his attention. End of poem. Rick cracks me up every time. He always has some kind of little, and it's just, I don't know why, it's just so great. He's a great writer and a wonderful, wonderful humorist. And that's a beautiful poem.
Yeah, I wrote to him that, you know, he makes me smile every day, every poem. And, he's one of my dear friends on All Poetry, and we chat a lot. And, yeah, he is, you know, a funny, funny, funny guy. And this is unique and clever and, you know, so well written, you know, to the prompt there, you know, him putting himself in the place of that girl that's there just waiting. But amazing, amazing right here by Rick Six. And Pam, your thoughts?
Sorry, this is a little more serious than I'm used to seeing from Rick. Wonderfully written, great imagery. I really enjoy and appreciate how he delves into mythology. And it seems to be a common theme in mythology of how both gods and goddesses and human all get jealous, especially when it comes to love and sexuality. He really captures the impatience and the jealousy of this goddess. Even goddesses get impatient, and I don't see any sign of my Helios. You know, and that ending, you know, it's got that goddess type attitude to it of I'll show you. And maybe that will get his attention. So excellent write and very well done.
It's so true. The arrogance of the gods. So true. You know, I hadn't thought of that, you know, Pam, before you stated it, but you know, so true. When we do see them, you know, they have this kind of, this way of being about them, this ultimate arrogance that he does so well capture in this rite. So, yeah, it's an amazing, amazing rite. And so bravo, Rick. And yeah, and I'm not doing my job. See? Talking on, listening to you guys talk. I'm not doing my job.
Well, I think you're doing great, Naomi.
So I'm gonna get the next right. This is Flower Power by Lockdown. There, I'm gonna get it in. Lockdown Larks. So Pam, if you can give that a read, please.
I can't because it's been deleted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been deleted. Oh, okay. That happens. Sorry.
Yeah.
I should have checked. Okay. So I'll just get working and get another one in. Okay. There. So I put Faye Silver Knight by Captain Kerr. There. Okay.
Faye Silver Knight by Captain Kerr. Her soft breath stirs the candle's gentle flame with scent as smooth as hand-sewn Persian silk. A chiffon chemise lightly drapes her frame and thin legs pour like fresh paled honey milk. Paraffin burns and bends the charring wick in waxen pool, spread body, melting heat, ripe strawberry licks. Polished, moistened lip, bare-toed crimson nail, dance on naked feet. She waits between the darkness and the light to stake herself, drinks deep from white wine, grail, then fingers, chest, lid, and strokes Fay Silver Knight, atop dark steed with jousting lance impaled and poem. Are you on mute, Naomi?
Yeah.
She said you were back. Okay. Ruth, your thoughts on this poem?
This poem did get gold, and I like the way he goes all the way down, and then at the end, he wraps it up with real intensity. I'm not used to reading these kind of poems, but they're lovely. And the imagery and the softness of the poems and the sensuality is just lovely. Instead of being harsh or frightening, I like the way that he talked about the Silver Knight and how sweetly he talks about the woman. It's very good and well written.
It really is. And I always love the use of the word Fae. Fae Silver Knight. He brings us into a land of mythology, a land of magic. There is, mm-hmm. as you say, a wonderful sensuality to this. And it definitely is a well-deserved gold. Gotten gentle, mm-hmm. some gentle alliteration, wonderful imagery. I really like paraffin burns and bends, tarring wick and wax and pool, spread body, melting heat, ripe strawberry licks. You can really feel the depth of her desire within that imagery. So excellent write and very well done. And are you back with us, Naomi?
Yeah, I just got back. I was drinking some water. yeah, and this is, you know, it really struck me with its awesome composition. And, you know, it's a structure. Like you said, Pam, you know, there's wonderful, you know, alliteration, but also beautiful imagery throughout. And, you know, it's just, you know, a powerful, strong write, you know, so thought out and cleverly created here. So bravo, Captain Kerr, on this beautiful, beautiful write. And, yeah, oh, I didn't get the next. Okay, I'm going to get the next right. What time? Okay, 2:23. Okay, and I'm going to put it in. And Ruth, as soon as you see that, by SSM, Some Days by SSM, you can give that a refresh.
All right. Some days. Some days I will find no song to sing. Some days will require more effort and will. Some days my courage will flounder at every dreaded step. Some days it will be difficult to regain confidence in self. Some days life will seem on verge of apocalypse. Some days dreams will be ripped apart in million rips. Some days nothing will make sense at all. Some days I will want a fresh start. But if you stand by me, my dear heart, with a smile on your face, I will endure through it all. Once again, gray winter will give way to bright spring. Hope will once again spread its wings. Only if I stand by me.
Now, I really like this repetition of, you know, some days I will find no song to sing. Some days will require more effort and will. Some days my courage will flounder at every dreaded step. And some days it will be difficult to regain confidence in self. And it's so true, you know. He's just talking about, you know, how you know, how life is. And, you know, how one fights to get through it. You know, some days are good, some days are less, and some days are really, really, you know, rotten. But all is better if you keep that hope. And you know, if somebody is standing by you, of course, to help you get through it. That's what I got. It was a poem, you know, just a beautiful write by SSM. And what did you think, Pam?
This is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's heartfelt. I too like the repetition, which really drove home the fact that there are going to be bad days, you know, and days where you feel like everything's falling apart. Some days life will seem on verge of apocalypse. You know, some days dreams will be ripped apart in million rips. And that last stanza speaks on the idea of, you know, that having somebody next to you, you know, it's someone who loves and cares about you during those difficult times. But if you stand by me, my dear heart, with a smile on my face. But it's the last line that also speaks on the, another idea. Only if I stand by me. It's that idea, to me anyways, that yes, it's important to have someone by you, someone to support you, But it's also important that you learn to love and support yourself. And so excellent write and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great observation there, Pam. And, you know, yeah, that is what is, you know, at most important is that you, you know, believe in yourself and love yourself. You know, a lot of people say, and I believe it too, that you can't, you know, let yourself be loved by somebody else or love somebody else if you don't love yourself first. So, yeah, it's a great, great observation. Awesome comment there, Pam, as always. And Ruth, your thoughts?
For me, this poem was about getting older and having the privilege of someone standing by them, because I think it is a privilege to have someone love you. I like the reality of this poem, and I like the repetition. And he said that it was inspired from the song Stand By Me, and that was such a great song. It is a great song, and it's a very great poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an amazing, awesome comment there, Ruth. And yeah, that's one of my favorite songs. If I want to dance or if I want to just feel good, I just put Stand By Me on and dance around with the broom through the kitchen. Yeah, that's a feel-good song, isn't it? It's just a wonderful song. Uh-huh.
It is. It's so one of my all-time favorites.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Stand By Me. And then what is the other version of it? Stand By Me and Lean On Me, or...
There's a song called Lean On Me.
Lean
On Me When You're Not Strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to sing it. But...
That's what I was going to say.
I love that
Come
song,
on.
Too. It always brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah. Very beautiful song. Very beautiful lyrics. And I have our next write-up by Luyu Wild Dove. And this is Beneath the Waters. And it's, I'm just going to look over it and see if, Pam, I'm going to get you to read it because there's some words in here. So,
oh my goodness, there's words in a poem? Who dares to put words in a poem? <For shame. laughs> I'm sorry, I can read with that. All right, here we go. This is Beneath the Waters by Luyu Wild Dove, and it goes like this. Gently skimming quiet waters on glassy surface of a cool aqua lake, burnished pink-orange movements gracefully catch the amethyst eyes of a bee. Intricate forms a kaleidoscape sight, filtering colors of royal jewels emerging in purple-greenish-yellow bubbles, materializing, connecting with eyes of metallic gold, flashes of topaz resonating within the salmon's eyes, golden breathing souls existing, moving in the intensity of natural elements from the earth's osculating splendid energies. Ancient connections yearn, awaking dormant tenderness, reminders of predominant, lustful yearnings of amorous appetites not betraying ageless passages and poem.
Wow. Lou, you always amazes me with her writing. And, you know, in her AN, she says, your favorite place. So I guess the prompt is a comment she wrote was,
your favorite place. And it is written, can be the love of your past life. In ancient cultures, I was a bee and he was the beloved salmon. So, you know, just an amazing creative write. And, you know, it has a deep spirituality, I find. And, you know, I don't know, it has something about it that's just, it's so powerful in a way, but just so soothing in another way. I can't really explain the emotion that I get from this. I can't say that word.
Transcendental.
In a way, you're fine. What did you think, Ruth?
I liked it. I liked her metaphors. It has a feeling to me of being ethereal. And she writes deeply intellectually and from her soul. And she says underneath her name there, don't interrupt my spirit journey. And I've noticed that she writes a lot about the spirituality and the believing in. And I just think it's a very, very well written poem. And I like it when she explains why she, in a way, why she wrote it, her favorite place. Yeah, it's very nice.
Mhm. Awesome comment there, Ruth. And Pam, your comment.
Well, this was stunning. As always, she's got brilliant imagery and metaphors. There is something so very captivating, so spiritual. And I like this all the way through, but especially those last three stanzas, old and bright, the breathing souls existing, moving in the intensity of natural elements, ancient connections yearn. You know, that idea that a past life and a connection that between two souls that never truly dies, that continues on into the next lives. So excellent write and very well done.
Oh, yeah, awesome comment. And, you know, awesome writer, our Lu Yu is. Like you said, Ruth, she has this deep spirituality, you know, just connection to earth and, you know, nature. And, okay, I'm putting in the next write. There. And this is by Rhonda Yosri, and it's called Beautiful Silence. And Ruth, if you see that, can you read that?
Mm-hmm.
Could you read that? Yes.
Yes. Beautiful Silence by Rhonda Yosri. Night nimbly unfolds his murky table napkin on the sky's lap, brooding over the world. A sooty drapery is lit with a street lamp crescent. By mutual agreement, silence escorts a flock of elite pearly silt house egrets on pairs of long inky poles as footrest used by circus clowns. With such grace and elegance, they nestle on shallow waters and calmly stalk their unsuspecting prey to pass by an ingenious fisher with bait and stick. A comely scenery oozes peace and tranquility, feels like having tape over anguished mouths. Senses leaning their back and watch, gaiety strokes life's cheek and promises to cleanse her body from prolonged gloom. End of poem.
Oh, that was a beautiful read there, Ruth. You know, and she captures, you know, Randa, I've grown to admire her writing. And, you know, the choice of her words, you know, just beautiful. With such grace and elegance, they nestle on shallow waters, calmly stalked her on the suspecting prey. You know, and then a comely scenery oozes peace and tranquility, feels like having tape over anguish's mouth. Wow. You know, powerful writing, you know, in here. And just uniquely Randa. And just amazing. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this has beautiful and brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like how she brings the picture to life. She brings us into the elegance and grace, she says, of the egrets. With such grace and elegance, they nestle in shallow waters and calmly stalk their unsuspecting prey to pass by an ingenious fishers with bait and stick. I also like the end lines, Gady strokes life's cheek and promises to cleanse her body from prolonged gloom. There's a real sense to me of how nature renews itself through the cycles of life and death. So excellent write and very well done.
This is an awesome, awesome comment. You know, this is a great rite to follow Luyu's, you know, the cycle of life, you know, a poem about, you know, the natural and the spiritual at the same time with a beautiful imagery and beautiful metaphors. Like, and Ruth, what did you think of this poem?
I really like her writing. And the prompt, for some reason, reminds me of something from the 20s or the 30s. Kind of, I don't know exactly what it is. There was just a unique time of jewelries and flappers and things like that. And for some reason, this reminds me of that. I don't know why, but it is very beautiful. Her poems are very beautiful. She's a fantastic writer. And she says, life is beautiful because a friend like you is there. There is no one with whom I can share my tears and fears if you were not here. And she's just a very intensely, beautifully worded poet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, very, very talented. She always surprises me with her writes. They're just so amazing every time. So I'm going to pop in the next write, which is Snails by C. Opal. Snail Girl Mermaid by C. Opal. And yeah, if I don't cough mid this poem, I'll get through it. So I'll give this one a read. Snail Girl, a golden fairy with dreadlocks and butterfly vines, floating her lithe frame, lived in cornflower fields, rescued insects and mice. She spoke to wind and trees in snail bell tones. In pink sunset's glow, she called unicorn and owls to walk misty meadows. Her dali speech of hollows and orbs, hands picked up broken wings, mosaic rocks and sea glass things. Night she spun silver spider webs, talked jib-jab with the moon. Yellow streaks in her hair glistened starlight shades down the sea salt paths and sandy dunes shore. You see her swim the ocean and morph into a mermaid again. Yeah, this is just beautiful. You know, she created a whole character and brought her to life here. You know, Sea Opal did. You know, there's so many beautiful lines in here. I just have trouble, you know, picking out just one. But, you know, I just love that she describes her physically, but also gives her, you know, like a character when you see her, she's calling out to unicorn and owls and, you know, to walk with her in the misty meadows. And her, she has dull eye speech of hollows and orbs, and her hands picked up broken wings, mosaic rocks and sea glass things. You know, just create the wonderful, wonderful imagery. And this is absolutely stunning. And Ruth, what did you think of Sea Opal's poem?
I really think it's a very beautiful poem. I like the way she did it. It's definitely tied into the prompt, and yet it's more ethereal than the prompt, if that makes any sense. I really like the line, "Nights she spun silver spider webs, talk jib jab with the moon, yellow streaks in her hair." I really like that paragraph. I like spider webs. They're pretty. And it's amazing how strong they are and how they do look like silver. And it's just a very beautiful poem. And it's very nice.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Beautiful, beautiful, right, by Sea Opal here. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this has amazing imagery, and it's so beautiful. I love that first stanza with lines, "Lived in cornflower fields, rescued insects and mice. She spoke to winds and trees." You know, to me, the main theme of this is the idea of a lady of nature, a woman of the fae, who communicates with nature. And it isn't about the big things in nature. It's about the little ones, the mice, the insects. She's connected to the small details. I also had to smile at the use of the word jib jab. "Night she spun silver spider webs, talked jib jab with the moon." I thought that was just a really clever line there, and a wonderful write all the way through about communication and connection with nature. So beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah. And Amy on the board, you know, she's been hanging out with us. Thank you so much, Amy. You know, so appreciate it that you hang out with us, you know, all along for the show. And, you know, she said, just before you said it, Pam, she says, "I love jib jab with the moon." So
well, there you
she,
go, great mind, think alike.
Yeah. And, yeah, I just want to thank her. Thank you, Amy, you know, for being there. And, yeah, I put up our next write, which is Autumn Child by Garden Delights. And Ruth, if you want to go ahead and give that a read.
Okay. She also just won front page pick 14 days ago with this poem. Autumn's Child. She was Autumn's child, born in that season, deceased in the same. Coming to life when our air grew crisper, fall's riotous colors would bury her sweet smile. Every day our sun slowly paced further away. Frequent walks allow me to hear her voice. She comes to me softly as leaves crunch underfoot. I cover innumerable chilly miles in the fall. Winter, spring, and summer hold no attraction. I must endure them as I may reach September. A mother in this world, I'm still one in the next. Never will my daughters part from this mother's heart. End of poem.
And can you read the author's note?
Yeah, it says, no, this isn't about me personally. It is about one of my brothers losing a daughter in one season. So very difficult to lose a newborn, a firstborn, after loving her and holding her dying body for months. That is so tragic. Very.
Oh, yeah.
Hurts my heart.
Such a beautiful, you know, written poem. You know, such an emotive write. And, brought tears to my eyes. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness, this was emotive. And it's so beautifully written. And my heart goes out to her brother and her family. It's such a difficult loss. And I think the connection between the artwork and the connection between the season of autumn and the loss of this child, she was worked so well, but it's just heartbreaking. She was Autumn's child, born in that season, deceased in the same. And then frequent walks allow me to hear her voice. She comes to me softly as leaves crunch underfoot. I cover innumerable chilly miles in the fall. And the idea it's of being connected with the spirits of loved ones. So excellent write and very well done. And I'm just truly sorry for her family's loss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, our prayers go out to the family. You know, it must be awful, you know, losing a child. Oh, my gracious. You know, that's one of my worst fears is, you know, something happens to one of my children, you know. I think that's the worst fear of any mother or any father, losing their child. What did you think, Ruth, about this poem?
It was very, very intense. And knowing now the subject matter, that makes the poem more brilliant, as in how she thinks about the child that is gone. And even though it grieves her, somehow the spirit of this child still is around like a budding flower and makes her very happy to wait for some. Maybe happy isn't the right word, but she lives for September, and it's so sad, and I do send my condolences to her and to her brother. It's just when anyone goes, the dynamics of life change, and we have to find ways to cope with it. This is really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah. Such a beautiful emotive write. You know, Garden Delights is another poet that I really, really admire, and I love her writing so much. And, you know, so just amazing. And I have our next write-up by Darkened Oris. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Absolutely. Burned Away Bleakness by Darkened Auras. Foggy bleakness burned away to a hypnotic sun. descending the grays and dull blues of my world, opened to a rusty sky of reddish hues. I was once lost, my mind clouded. Now I walk the peaceful path of never-ending sunsets and poem.
And I thought this was such a brilliant write to that prompt, you know, that she's leaned over and she's reaching for that sunrise or sunset. You know, now I walk the peaceful path of never-ending sunsets. Just a beautiful imagery throughout this. And, you know, amazing. You know, it's almost hypnotic, you know, the flow of this whole rite. And that was such a beautiful read, Pam. Wow, bravo. And what a wonderful rite here by Dark and Doris. And Ruth, what are your thoughts?
That prompt to me was a prompt that was a prompt you really had to pay attention to see exactly what it was showing you. Because when I first looked at it, I didn't see the woman. And it's just a picture that has wonderful details, and this poem really fits the prompt. And to me, it's about passing away and accepting the demise. But yet the person that wrote this accepts it. And is willing to go wherever the path, now I walk the peaceful path of never-ending sunsets. Oh, that was it's really beautiful.
Amazing. And Dark and Doris, I guess she was listening to us, and she wrote, "Oh, Lowell, I didn't see the woman either. I thought she was a tree with a vine."
Yeah, and on her page she has spider webs, and when I looked down to the page, I started to brush it away. The very realistic page that her poem was on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, amazing flow in this poem. Just mm-hmm. so beautiful. And, the, you know, the color, the reddish hues, just the foggy bleakness, the hypnotic sun, just the use of colors, just beautiful in here. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is beautiful. I like what Ruth had to say about the idea of death. And I thought that was a great observation. I also see this as the idea of coming out of depression, of, you know, finding that light in the storms of life and the cloudy mind. You know, I thought she had just brilliant imagery and metaphors. It was beautifully written and very well done.
To me, her poems were very, very deep. You know, I feel like she really reaches way down and brings it up. You know what I'm talking about? I can't think of the word, but very beautiful poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is an excellent, an amazing writer indeed. And yeah, I have our next poem up. Who just read?
That is a good question.
I don't know. We're in the same boat, aren't we?
Ruth, can you go ahead and read the next one by Paul Brout, Golden Earring? I'm saving my voice.
I'd be very happy to. Sporkle, the little icon or whatever they call it that signifies it's Paul Brout. I love that. And I think maybe he has temporarily retired him, and I miss him because he's so cute. The name of this poem is Golden Earring by Paul Brout. She searched for life and its true meaning, nicknamed her the Golden Earring. She found the egg that holds the answer. She held it closer, tiny dancer. Rasta braids embrace her stride past the duchy from the left-hand side. Birds in flight obey the rule. How does it feel when you got no food? Past the duchy from the left-hand side. Past the duchy from the left-hand side. You drive a boat. You drive a boat. Yeah, knows. End of poem. And this was influenced by Tiny Dancer. Elton John. Parody of musical youth. Yeah. I'm very amazed how after Sporkle was kind of retired, that Paul branched out into everything. He's really excellent. That's a beautiful poem.
What is a duchy?
That is a good question. I know what a Dutch person is.
Well, maybe it's some kind of a building or something. Or maybe it's a vehicle.
I know what it is. It's
what?
A blunt stick with marijuana. It's a joint.
That's funny. Oh no. Oh,
he is so clever.
That changes the whole thing, really. Do you all think so? Because
it really helps. It really helps to know, and it makes sense now because you'll pass the duchy from the left-hand side. All of a sudden, it makes sense. Yep, passing it around in a circle. So
yeah. He's so funny. This is a great poem.
Yeah, and Pam, your comment.
Yes, I thought this was clever and fun. It's a great parody. It often does help, and I like learning new words. You know, I had to Google that and look it up, and I always enjoy parodies, wonderful lyrical quality. I like the mention of the Rasta braids embrace her stride past the duchy from the left-hand side, birds in flight obey the rule. Just like I said, clever and fun and very well done.
Yeah, amazing comment. Yeah, now I can say to some of my friends, go out and buy me some duchy.
it's like that old song, don't Bogart that joint, my friend. Have you guys ever heard that? He's so great.
There's a French equivalent to that word, duchy.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, so I have next poem up. Pam, whenever you see that, can you give it a read by Dan Ellison?
Oh, absolutely. The Horns of Plenty by Dan Ellison. Sun bronze shoulders heft, cumbersome iron shield, as lance and stirrup warriors stride horses to killing fields. We freckle the landscape, helms and scabbards adorned, fate and destiny awaits the yawning battle horns. No calm before a storm, no peace held on this side. Our remedy is to form up, to ride against raging tide. The horns cry out at last, mournful blast, sorrowful sigh. Time unwinds to accelerate for we who live to die. End poem.
Yeah, well, I get this, you know, this Remembrance Day vibe out of this, you know, the valor, the courage, the with the warriors there, the importance of, you know, of duty and courage and you know, the valor of these warriors here. We freckle the landscape, helms and scabbards adorned, fate and destiny awaits the yawning battle horns. Freckle the landscape, that's so amazing. Yawning battle horns. Just a superb use of language here in this short brevity. Just wow. What did you think, Ruth?
Well, this is from a contest from Julie, I think, and he also won gold on this. And he was the front page pick 3 days ago. So this is a very impressive poem and extremely well written. Julie picks out really, really neat words, and people just spin it into a poem. It's incredible. But I really like that we freckle the landscape. That's the way it's like. When they go to war, everybody goes into their place. And no calm before a storm. Yeah. It goes, the remedy is to form up, to ride against raging tide. They know when to separate and they know when to come together. Very beautiful.
Awesome, awesome comment there. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is wonderful. Great rhyme and flow, amazing imagery and metaphors. It was a powerful rite that pays tribute to the warriors that stand on the brink of battle, and also a nod towards the horses who are trained and who are bravely face war. And I really like the lines, no calm before storm, no peace held on this side. They know what's coming, they know what to expect, and they're prepared for it. So excellent write and very well done. And great show today, Naomi.
Yeah. And, we had a few laughs, and we talked about smoothies and duchies. And great show. And, I want to thank both of you, Ruth and Pam, for being there. So we had such an amazing, 2 hours of show. And, everybody who listened in to the show wrote for the show and, posted poems, and Amy for hanging out on the board. Just wonderful for you to be there. And I just want to wish everybody a great rest of Wednesday and see you for our next show. So good day, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thanks for teaching me about